It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of cannabis, and have your specific questions answered by emailing jennifer@cannabama.com or text or call 343-0106. And now, for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Sweet Home Cannabama right here in Mobile, Alabama on FM Talk 106.5 every Monday night at 7 o'clock. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer Stewart, former owner of Cannabama and lots of other things I've got my little fingers into. And this is the last show for 2025. Some days I'd never thought this one year would end. Please, God, make it stop. And other days, it's like, wow, it was just January a few minutes ago. You know, if you've been with me all along, you know all of the drudgery that we went through in the last 12 months, all of the fighting, all of the crying, all of the losing and the battles and lots and lots of really hard things. But we are not giving up, and 2026 better be better. I have a good feeling about it. Sometimes you have those seasons in life where you lose everything. I mean, just about everything you have. The people that you thought you could count on, the people that were always circling when you were successful that suddenly disappear into the ether the moment you're down. There's a lot of things that just fall away, you know? I mean, I lost titles, money, income, my car, everything. But I also gained so many things. The relationships that did linger or that were started anew this year are way better than the ones I've lost. And the people that I am now surrounded with are 10 times the caliber of the people that were sort of hanging on and coattail riding, you know, throughout the last 7 or so years. I gained the love of my life, you know, and my children are happy and healthy and thriving. And there are lots and lots of reasons to thank God. And I am very blessed. It could be a lot worse. Like I've said before, I could be sleeping on my son's couch right now. I'm sure he would love that. But anyway, it's been a year of sort of breaking everything down. And that doesn't just go for me. That's across the state of Alabama. That's across all the states, especially in the last few months. It really seems like what was left of the hemp industry to battle for kind of got, you know, jerked around and slapped around a little bit. And now here we are at the end of the year, and we're transitioning to what we hope is a year of building and acquiring bigger and better things and taking the calling that God has given us. I know for me, I speak for myself and a lot of people that I know that we know that God has more in store, and we're ready for it. We're here for it. Part of me is almost relieved that I've already gone through that breaking point, because now I can focus on the future and stop dragging a dead horse behind me, so to speak. It's over. I've accepted it. You know, I've moved on, or I'm trying to move on and figure out the next thing. And the next thing is happening right before our very eyes. So I'm really excited about that. Happy New Year, everybody. I would love to say be responsible if you're going out to party. I will not be going out to party. But yeah, I would say have a THC bev instead of an alcoholic one, or have a gummy instead of whatever other thing you might do, and wake up the next day and not hungover. And be careful out there. You know, people act crazy in big crowds and all that stuff. So just be careful, because 2026 is going to have a lot in store for us. And we're just getting revved up to get into what's new. HB 445, speaking of Alabama, HB 445 goes into full effect Thursday, January 1st. Despite the fact that there are no licenses available currently, and for an undetermined amount of time. The application window is January 1st to February 14th. We do not have any idea what that means for the retailers who are still in business, who may be operating without a license because the license isn't available. Will any of them be prosecuted or get in trouble or whatever for operating without a license as if they just didn't go and get one? You know, that's not the same thing as them not being available. I don't envy my colleagues when it comes to this because I'm privy to the conversations that everyone's having about, well, here's what the ABC board told me. Well, this one told me. And even the ABC board doesn't know. So pray for the remaining shops. I know that the hybrid shops, a lot of the shops that are still thriving, I guess you could say thriving, working well within their limitations up to now, are hybrid shops that sell both nicotine products and hemp products. And they will not be able to just continue to do that without either getting rid of their nicotine products or adding alcohol, which none of us want to do. Like I said, we don't really know what's going to happen, but being fully within HB 445 regulations is a scary place to be without that piece of paper from the state saying that I'm allowed to do this. So, you know, keep those shops in mind. Go tomorrow and the next day and buy whatever you can from them, because I know when I closed my shop, I lost a whole lot of inventory because I couldn't sell it. And I had to close, and there was no time to get rid of it. And so a lot of my friends who have shops around the state are having big, big sales. And so go and buy their inventory. Help them out. It's a terrible time of year for this to be happening to them. So go and shop local and stock up, because we have zero idea what's coming. So, yeah, I mean, I just wanted to say, for those of you who stuck with us this past year, we hope that every show, this tonight's show topic is positive. It's informative. It's a topic we've never fully fleshed out. And I'm really excited about that, because there's so much more to this plant than HB 445 or the continuing resolution or even the executive order. And we want to celebrate all the ways that this plant makes the world a better place and provides medicine and lots of different products for the human race. And we want to get into that. Tonight, we've had a little bit of a weird mix-up with technical things. So I'm not sure if our guest is with us yet, but I have two guys with me tonight. Last week, you heard from Martin Smith from Kentucky, and he is back with us tonight. And another Kentucky farmer, Chad Wilson. I'm going to read Chad's bio so you can get to know who he is, and hopefully we'll be able to figure out our glitch here and have him join the show after the commercial break. But Chad is a Kentucky industrial hemp farmer, educator, an early movement advocate whose work has contributed to the reestablishment of hemp as a viable agricultural crop in the Commonwealth. Based in Cave City, Kentucky, Wilson has over a decade of hands-on experience in hemp cultivation, farmer education, and community-based agricultural development. He is the owner and operator of Sacred Seed Farm, where he has focused on sustainable farming hemp practices, seed and clone propagation, and supporting small farmers entering the hemp space. Wilson also played a foundational role in Green Remedy CBD, one of Kentucky's early hemp companies, helping to advance locally grown Kentucky-based hemp products during the state's pilot program era. Often referred to as the hemp preacher, Wilson is known for bridging the gap between traditional agriculture and modern hemp production through education, public outreach, and advocacy. His approach emphasizes hemp's role in as a multi-purpose farm crop, supporting fiber, fuel, food, and medicine, and its potential to strengthen rural economies and family farms. Wilson's work reflects Kentucky's historic relationship with hemp while promoting its future as a regulated, responsible, and farmer-driven industry. Through farming, mentorship, and public education, he continues to advocate for hemp as a legitimate American crop rooted in soil, stewardship, and community. And I would say welcome to the show, Chad Wilson, but he's not here yet. But I can say welcome to the show to Martin. Martin, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here with you. How about it, Jennifer? We got two more days and the end of this year is over and the celebration happens with a reflection on everything and, you know, on what we're going to do next. And
yes.
So I'm happy. I wish Chad was here with us right now. He's on his way. I'm sure he'll figure it out, but.
Yes, we're going to get him to call in on the commercial break and hopefully be able to join us for that. When we come back from the break, hopefully we'll be speaking with Chad Wilson from Kentucky. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. I think we've got Chad on the line, finally. Chad, are you there?
Yes, Miss Jennifer, I am finally here. Me and technology just doesn't work too well together. I am so sorry, y'all.
That's okay. That's why I have Isaiah, and I have Phil, and I sometimes have Michael back at home. I don't do the button touches.
Well, I apologize.
That's okay. That's okay. Well, let's get into it. Tell us what you do and how you came to do it. I know that you farm hemp, but specifically, tell us about it.
Yeah. Oh, well, in the short answer, back when all of this started happening in early, 2010, 11-ish, I just got interested in the crop because my whole life I've been told, you know, stay away from the devil's lettuce. And
right.
Then I started seeing some things like the Stanley brothers, and I started questioning things. And then I started doing my own research, and I had an awakening that I had been misled my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So I started getting deeper and deeper, and then the more I dug into this amazing plant that we call cannabis hemp, I was enlightened. So got with some friends. We started a company that was called Green Remedy. We was a nationwide CBD company. We started farming it ourselves, growing and making our own products and then distributing across the nation. As I did that, I traveled to campuses and expos teaching about the greatness and the miracle saving that I believe that this plant can bring to small farms.
Absolutely.
And today, like I said, I'm trying to re-enter that market because I believe that there's still hope in hemp, and I believe that there's hope for hemp now.
I agree, and we all have a why. I've never had a guest that didn't have a very specific why. I know yours, you know, comes from your father having health
yes.
issues and it giving him his life back. You know, everybody has a why. Everybody that I know has come to a point in life where they had nowhere else to turn, and this plant saved the day and changed their lives and turned it around. And you know as well as I do, when you get to do this work and you get to see miracles happen right there, you give someone something in their hand and show them how to use it and tell them what it is and teach them the way. And when they come back to you with tears in their eyes and say, thank you, you changed my life, or you gave me my spouse back, or you changed my child's health. You know, there is not a dollar on the planet worth more than that compensation for your efforts, because, man, who doesn't want to see something that beautiful and hopeful and miraculous? I mean, who can deny that that is a calling from God?
Well, absolutely. And my father, you know, my father had a massive stroke, lost his ability to speak. I think I've said it a million times. If I had not discovered this plant, I would have lost my father. And
right.
My daddy, they said he wasn't never going to speak. He was never going to ride his motorcycle. He was never going to do those things. And I'm just so glad that one day I set him in front of the computer. And I showed him where the U.S. government has a patent on CBD,
yeah.
and it says aging bodies, stroke, seizure, and traumatic brain injury, which means every human being
right.
should be using this product.
Amen.
And my daddy looked up at me and said, take. And that's all he could say.
Right.
And 10 days later, my daddy was talking. A month later, my daddy was moving out on his own. A month later, he was driving his own car, and a month after that, he was back on his motorcycle.
Wow.
Something that they said he would never, ever do in his life. And
right.
That was when he was 65. My daddy just turned 76.
Wow.
And without this amazing plant, Miss Jennifer, I would have lost my father.
Yeah. No, I did lose my father to opioid addiction.
No, I'm so sorry.
And it was
that.
And I was actively in addiction at the same time. Mm-hmm. And when I discovered what this could do for that, for the withdrawal symptoms and the detoxification of the body and the balancing the brain chemistry, how much it did for the opioid withdrawal, every time I help an addict, I think of him because we missed it by a few years. And I often wonder, because my dad was 51. When he passed, he stopped breathing in his sleep. He was in cancer treatment, and they had him on 7 respiratory depressants. But he was addicted to opioids. And, man, just every time I hear a story like yours, mm-hmm. it reminds me of all the people out there who are in similar situations. And I know for men, especially with strokes, it's much harder for men to regain communication and things like that. And if there's not early intervention. And so that is very exciting to know that he went from such a low place to being completely independent and going on and living his best life, it sounds like.
Well, and in fact, you know, he just turned 76 and he called me the other day on his little before his birthday in October, I guess it was. And he said, son, I guess it's time I parked the bike. My legs just ain't strong enough. He was still strong enough. The spirit was still there. So, but more than anything, I'm just grateful that I got my daddy, and that's the power of this plant. You know, I'm not a doctor, can't diagnose, treat, or cure, but I know a miracle when I see it.
Hey, that's right. I don't need a white coat and MD behind my name to know that this is a miracle, and it is 1,000% a good medicine. So thank you for sharing that with us. I want to dip into the topic for tonight. We've never fully fleshed out the topic of hemp for food. We've talked, I've talked many times about how much I enjoy hemp hearts and the protein and how I use it and things like that. We know that hemp seed oil is very nutritious. And, but you introduced me to, and I know what microgreens are sort of kind of in the food world, but I didn't realize that people were using hemp leaves as microgreens. And so I wanted to get into that. I mean, what qualifies as a hemp food product?
Yeah, and well, you know, it's really exciting time, I think, for hemp foods right now, just simply because, I mean, as we look across the nation, we're seeing, you know, Victory Hemp here in Kentucky, Chad Ross in Kentucky, you know, they do hemp hearts and oils and different things. Kentucky Hemp Works here in Kentucky doing hemp oil. Katie Moyer, you got out in Colorado, Carla Boyd from Hempway Foods making burgers. Plant-based foods, they're doing taquitos and burgers. Love and Nuthatcher doing hemp milks.
Yeah.
I mean, the possibilities are just absolutely, absolutely endless.
Yeah,
and where my main focus is one thing that I've always wanted to do here on my farm is, of course, we were CBD farmers and genetic farmers for the CBD industry because when we got into it, those seeds and things weren't available, so we had to grow them ourselves. We had to grow these plants ourselves and produce these genetics and things.
Right.
But I'd always been geared for microgreens because I mean when we look at any microgreen, why do we eat it? That's the most nutrition you're ever going to get in that little bitty concentrated plant.
Right.
And hemp microgreens can be a huge opportunity for small farms like mine.
Yeah. And I knew that people juice them, but it never occurred to me that you might throw them in your salad or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Juicing, throwing them in your salad, grabbing them as an afternoon snack. I mean, I will literally, you know, back in the day when we was full-fledged and doing this, you know, I would grab them and literally eat the plant, you know, coming out of the trays at times. And my son would slap my hand and say, stop that. You know, we got to grow these out.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just a really good market that's going to open up and it's only expanding. I mean, this year alone, hemp foods were $685 million. Where they're expecting in five years to be a $1.25 billion industry.
Wow.
In 10 years, somewhere between $5 and $10 billion. Small farmers should have a hold in that.
Right.
And this is, you know, there's several easy ways to enter into some hemp foods on a small farm. Microgreens is one. Of course, a small-scale hemp seed production, your oil facility yourself, a hemp milk-making facility.
Right.
So the possibilities that we're seeing, it's those farmers, and that's what I'm wanting to encourage on this call tonight.
Right.
We've lost a lot. We have lost a lot of our enthusiasm in hemp. And I'll be honest, Ms. Jennifer, before we started having some conversation, this little group of friends that we've been talking, I had done that.
Mm-hmm.
But now, my spirit is alive, boy.
Yeah. No, it is. This has been a demoralizing. This last year, I know in Alabama, and I know in other states, it's been even longer. It has been an incredibly demoralizing time for us because we do put our heart and soul. You know, most of us put everything we had into this. We didn't just take a little bit and go over here. This is everything we have, you know, because that's how we believe in this. That's how much love we have for what the plant can do. And all the things you just mentioned, burgers and taquitos, and I remembered milk when you said milk, but there's so many products.
Yes.
and by the way, for anybody who doesn't know, when you're talking about microgreens and that young a plant, there's nobody getting high. There's no THC or CBD content in a hemp seed oil.
Absolutely.
Because it hasn't developed into a plant. Juicing raw plants, there's, you know, there has to be the heating process to decarboxylate any THC that might be present. And so it's not something that you're going to eat a couple of leaves and feel loopy. That's not the case.
Yeah, and you know, and that was always a big concern, especially back when we first started in this in the early days. But I think consumer education is catching up from all the work that folks that are still doing, like you are doing today.
Right.
I think that consumer education is because used to, I really think when, you know, in the past, if you'd asked me, I would have said, "Oh, hemp greens or hemp microgreens are a niche."
Right.
But now
I would have thought
I thought that until
you just started expounding on it. When we first broached this topic, I was like, "Oh, that's a really niche product. You know, it's cool. Let's talk about it because it's one of the, you know, thousands of things you can do with the plant." But what you're telling me is it's mainstream. Restaurants want these. You know, lots of people, if they were able to get them, would be interested in this, especially without it being psychotropic in any way. There's no danger of that. So I think that lends itself to people being more willing to try it, you know. And you're right. After 7 years since the Farm Bill was signed, and, you know, I've been pounding this table right here for 6.5 years teaching all this stuff. And the reason I do it is because it takes the fear out of the factor when people go to say, do I want to try this? Is this something I can do that might benefit me? When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more with Chad Wilson and Martin Smith. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sweet Home Cannabama right here on FM Talk 106.5. We're also on YouTube. Lots of social media pages. If you are watching from YouTube or social media, hit that share button, please, and share this message with your friends list, your friends and family. I believe, and I'm sure Chad and Martin both agree, that this is very valuable information. And as far as this show is concerned, it's pretty new. Chad, let me ask you this. What is the market for microgreens? I mean, you talked about the different types of products. I mean, it sounds like it could be a massive market when you go from things like just the straight up microgreens to burgers and taquitos and hemp milk and oils. You know, you can, I mean, a lot of good tinctures use hemp seed oil because it is so nutritious. Hemp seed oil is also great for hair and skin care, things like that. So I think that, you know, you could make a real good go of making food products out of all that. And plus, these plants are harvested. The microgreens are harvested very early on, correct?
Yes, ma'am. There's no budding or floral. you know, they're typically just going to be inches tall, literally, and then we'll literally cut them off at the, right above the root zone, so they're safe to enter the marketplace with no psycho effects at all.
Right.
Because there is no floral. It's
right.
just pure plant nutrition, and with the way we're seeing more and more plant-based and lifestyles and different things going that way, hemp just makes sense.
Right.
Just even from just that daily boost, you know, 3 tablespoons is going to give you about 11 grams of pure plant protein.
Yep.
of hemp seed. It's a complete protein, just like eating a piece of beef with every chain amino acid. Come on, how good is this plant?
Right.
You should be eating it every day.
Well, and the hemp hearts, I love to put the hemp hearts in things like cookies, and you can put it on top of, you know, yogurt. You could put it in a dressing. You could put it on top of any dish like you would sprinkle sesame seed almost. And it does have almost a nutty flavor, and it provides protein and texture. And I I'm picky. I would probably never juice it without absolutely gagging, but I'm just picky. Ask my husband. It drives him nuts.
No, no, I totally understand. Juicing, you know, and it varies, and that's the thing.
Right.
Here, you know, I've tasted several plants, and certain cultivars have a better taste.
That goes back to the fact that the plant is not 2 or 3 chemicals. It's over 480 things in one, and each cultivar has different terpenes and different flavonoids and different elements that make it smell and look and taste very different. So and have different effects. So the same principle applies, but you cut these like 10 to 20 days is what I read, right?
Yeah, and that's the great thing about this. This is a dense trade production crop that a farmer can use. You know, we could be looking at this in small scale from shipping containers to very large scale with maybe blackened, darkened greenhouses or even inside buildings. So, you know, the possibility is there, and because we're looking at something, we're looking at a plant that it's always going to create an interest. Anytime you see this leaf, it always draws attention.
Right.
So it's going to create that excitement when you add it into your salad bar can you imagine?
Right.
When you first get that and you didn't know it, and there they go.
You're like,
and you're
I'm sorry,
like, oh,
that looks like, wait, what is that?
But the thing about it is it opens up so many markets, a wholesale market, a retail market, a direct-to-sale market. And we're looking at numbers that can be very profitable. Over the last 5 years, we've watched microgreens explode across the nation at anywhere from about $8 to $16 per pound, and even higher per pound, and that's wholesale, going for specialty niches, purple basil, things like that.
Right.
So, you know, hemp is going to fall in that specialty because, you know, we do have regulations. We do have compliance and issues, and we have to make sure, you know, and do things right. So who better to do that than the hemp farmers?
Right. You know, you're already touching the plant every single day. And, you know, I'm sure that I know a company here in Mobile that does shipping container farming, urban farming. Mm-hmm. And because you can park it in the back of a restaurant parking lot and grow your own lettuce, tomatoes, whatever. And they had one outfitted for cannabis should it ever be legal to grow it yourself. And that sounds like the perfect thing to do microgreens in something like that, because it's a smaller controlled environment that you can literally put anywhere. And I'm sure that restaurants, higher end restaurants, I'm sure, are looking for things like that, because generally speaking, produce in this country all tastes like nothing. And God knows what's on it. And people want more than that. And they want, you know, it's sad. You know, you're eating food and it has no nutritional value whatsoever, you know, and probably God knows what's in it that's making you sick. So that's a scary thought, to be able to give someone a microgreen product or a fresh fruit food product that not only isn't going to hurt them, but it's going to help them. I mean, that's a win-win.
Yeah, and the thing about it is with proper management and things in a controlled grow environment, there's not going to be any pesticides. And plus, you know, you can't spray pesticides unless they are approved for hemp, and there's very few of those that are. But the whole that doesn't even come into play, because
right.
if you're good and maintaining your cleanliness and sanitization protocols, you're not, and that's in that 10 to 20 day span, it's too fast.
Right.
So, you know, we're removing some of those worries and things too with this product.
Right. You almost can't fail.
Well, you can.
I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can. But an experienced, highly intelligent gentleman such as yourself probably has a low failure rate with something that new and that young when it's time to harvest it, you know?
Yes. I've made my mistakes in learning hemp and cost a Green Remedy back in the day several thousand dollars when I didn't do some math right and miscalculated some nutrients. But I learned from those mistakes. And the thing about this is a fairly easy crop that a young farmer can base on. It can open up an income stream to strengthen that farm so that they can do, just like my farm. I think me and you've talked before. My farm has struggled. I live in a very rural area that's very under, our population is like 2,200.
Mm-hmm.
We do natural vegetables. I don't pay the government to call it organic, but
right.
we make our own fertilizers, the Korean natural farming methods. We practice natural methods. And it was hard to get even $4 a pound out of natural vegetables here.
Right.
And I quit. I quit because when hemp moved off my farm after all this, what's happened to us, I couldn't afford to take the loss that I was having in growing food for my community.
Right.
But I'm feeling positive because with some options and things that I see happening in our industry right now, I believe I can bring my farm back to its former glory. And I believe there's a lot of young farmers that's going to benefit from this, and we can stabilize farm families for generations.
Well, and as much as it costs in a lot of states to have a farm that meets all of the compliance requirements of the state and licensing, mm-hmm. and if you're new to the game, you know, hiring the right people to teach you what you're doing. I imagine if someone had hemp out in the field for industrial purposes, being able to also have a shipping container or a greenhouse somewhere on that same farm growing for a totally different stream of revenue and nutrition, you know, that would be an incredible boost and create some stability for those farmers who want to still take that. You know what? Right now, it's a pretty big risk to farm hemp because of the nightmare situation that's been falling out of the sky for a long time now. But we're here to turn that around, and that's partly why Martin's also here with us. Let me ask you this. What is in Kentucky? What is the current law, and what's kind of holding you back from being able to do that? I know that there's an issue with the testing because you're not flowering.
Yes. Well, in Kentucky, the way our laws, there are other states that are currently already doing. Arizona kind of led the way.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it was just kind of you had to submit to the USDA. Basically, they were just saying, hey, look, we're not going to test this because it's not mature flower. And then the USDA signed off of it, and Arizona went to going.
Well, and that would seem like the smart thing to do, because if there's no flower involved, they shouldn't care. That's all they ever care about is don't let anybody smoke it, you know? So if there's no possibility it's going to get smoked, then why would they care?
Yeah, well, I think it was just, you know, they were trying to be overprotective, and we got caught up in some laws because our state went ahead. You know, we didn't enjoy some of the markets that other states, you know, other states, some states were selling hemp floral back in the day. Some states were doing microgreens. But Kentucky passed a law that says we cannot do any plant material. And that was even at one point we could, like if you're making a hemp tea or coffee, we could import it in. But we couldn't grow it here, which was really odd for a small farmer that opened the doors to hemp. I really had a hard time accepting that one, but
right.
I played by the rules.
Right.
And since my very first beginning, every year I come to the KDA, like, hey, how can we do microgreens? And I just never got much acceptance until literally two or three weeks ago, where I get a call from the KDA and says, hey, how do we move forward on this?
Right.
I didn't know what to say. I stuttered.
Right.
I was like, you know,
are you punking me?
I thought I was being prank. great. I was just waiting for Ashton Kutcher to come out, you know?
Right.
And so it was, so, you know, the number one thing that we're having is we have to change our language. We have to remove that plant material. And I think the federal, with part of that with the federal bill and what they're doing now in the farm bill, it further clarifies what is hemp. Hemp is food. Hemp is microgreens. Hemp is this. By removing those, some of those cannabinoids and things, they further defined hemp as food.
Right.
But I also have to say that hemp is more than food. Hemp is medicine too.
Yes.
And so you know, even though that pathway is looks like it is open, it is opening up on the national level. I believe there's going to be other states that are like us that have some of these same prohibitive laws. Martin may be able to just roll them off.
Right.
But that's the main thing that we're needing to do right now is in the state of Kentucky is we have to change our language to allow that, you know, at 0.03, it's federally legal. And, you know, we have what's called the right to farm. And this is a legal crop.
Yep.
And I should have the right to farm it no matter what my zip code is.
Yeah,
it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And we have a right to farm these legal crops. And so we got to get that. It's very important for us to get that because season is coming. And
right.
We don't have a lot of time to get ready and retool because, you know, we've held off on some of that because of I was scared to invest those monies into something that might never come.
Right, or something that might get yanked out from under you. I know how that feels.
You know, because I built these shipping containers. My shipping containers are lighted and lit and everything else, and we got very lucky. You know, they said, oh, you can't do it, and I was crushed. But luckily, we found our way, and we got into the genetic side of CBD brewing and doing clones for other farmers.
Right.
And so we were able to implement that capital that was spent.
Right.
But it was true. But they're sitting empty right now. I want that plant on my farm making capital for my generational family farm.
Right, and making the medicine and the food that people need. Because
food is medicine.
Food is medicine. That's right. I say that all the time. I'm like, y'all, that is a saying for a reason. You know, what you put in your face determines what your body is going to be made of for like a week after that. So, yeah, making bad decisions will come back to haunt you. I mean, everything comes down to diet and environment and toxins and medicine, you know, and we're here to make the whole body healthy and achieve that state of homeostasis that God intended us to have so that the body could heal itself. When we come back, more with Chad Wilson and Martin Smith. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody, to the last Sweet Home Cannabama episode of 2025. I'm talking with my friends Martin Smith and Chad Wilson about microgreens and hemp food. And we're in our last segment, so I want to make sure we get to the point of what we want to talk about. You know, last week we went through and talked about Trump's executive order regarding the federal definition of hemp because in November they went wackadoo and redefined hemp in the continuing resolution that no one was going to vote against because everybody wanted the government open and basically reiterated that he wants to fix the federal definition of hemp regarding the preservation of full spectrum CBD products and making them available for Medicare recipients. That's, I think Martin said, 70 million people. And the current new federal definition makes it nearly impossible to grow things at all for any reason, industrial, for food, or for medicine. So that Trump's intention is to preserve the hemp industry, not destroy it. Very exciting, and we're very grateful for that. So, Martin, I want to ask you, tell us how medical hemp, we introduced that term last week, tell us how medical hemp can secure a successful future for hemp farmers who grow for medicine as well as food and all the other industrial applications.
Nutrition is health, Jennifer.
Yes.
Nutrition is health.
Food is medicine. We covered that already, Martin.
yeah, we did it. You know, I'm cheerleading over here because, you know, the cannabinoids, the endocannabinoid system is just being supplemented by the external potential for hemp to create this full spectrum CBD and the entourage effect that comes with all of the cannabinoids with the full spectrum. Trump did an amazing thing there, and Chad Wilson and I, we go back a way back, 2010, 11, somewhere in there, Chad, working towards the 2013 SB50, where we lined up with the 2014 Farm Bill. None of us, Chad nor I or anybody else, thought President Obama was going to sign the 2014 Farm Bill. No. And away we went with full spectrum, seeing the miracles it was doing on the street with the customer base coming into Green Remedy and saying, look, this is helping me with my opioid addiction. This is helping me with this thing and that thing. The little children we've seen, Chad. How about little Eli and little Lily? Yeah. And all of the miracles at full spectrum when President Trump
said, haven't we?
CBD, he was talking about what we're talking about here when we talk about nutrition is health. Full spectrum, meaning that plant has the ability to do some amazing things. We're going to give our seniors and our Kentucky and our nation's hemp farmers a new market that's worth about $37 billion.
Right.
And you do $500 times, you know, annually, $500 times the 70,000 recipients that are in that field. So we got a lot of work. Chad said it. Mother Nature ain't waiting on us.
Right.
we got to figure out how we're going to service this market and align with that. So, excuse me, medical hemp comes into that space, Jennifer, where we talk about the separation between industrial hemp and food products. I believe nutrition is health, like we said.
Absolutely.
And so food products fit that regulatory space where we need to know what's it doing so that the consumer can be smart and, you know, intelligent enough to buy it for what they need.
Right.
And so that's the separation. You don't have to do that for a T-shirt.
Right.
Or, you know, you don't have to do that for a new pair of shoes made of hemp or paper made of hemp. Or
a house made of hemp, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So what President Trump did right there was create for us a new space. And now he did create. He said, hold on, there's a lot of science behind this already. What are we talking about here?
Right.
Get this done. Boy, that's the best thing. And he didn't say, well, let's create this bureaucracy and bring this perspective.
No, he just said, this is what's going to happen, and we're going to help pay for it.
And by April 1st, you better get going, hip industry.
Right. It's insane. If you think about the last few months. Yeah, if you think about the last few months, you know, besides the state battles, you know, Trump put out this video about how great CBD is for seniors, and we were all like, I'm sorry, what just happened? He said, what? On a video?
Yes.
All over the interwebs? And then the feds went, eh, maybe not. Let's open the government and squash you like a bug. And we were all like, whoa, what has happened? And then it's like whiplash around here, you know, that you get jerked around by your neck, you know.
This time we got executive powers. This time we got executive powers. Understand that. That is so much different than any position we've been, even though President Obama signed the Farm Bill. Praise him for doing that and setting forth the definition, legal definition of what industrial hemp was.
Right.
Regardless of how it was interpreted after that, whether right, wrong, or indifferent.
Right.
He did that. But now, President, we got the executive saying, you got till April. I want to see this done. Get these regulations figured out. Get out of their way. We've got enough research.
Right.
You know, the opportunity is here, $37 billion.
Well, and it's billion. One, you know, everybody, there's lots of big name people in the world who go to bat for this plant, you know, but it's different hearing it from Willie Nelson or Snoop Dogg than the president of the United States of America, arguably one of the most powerful men in the world, who we also know doesn't drink.
Don't drink.
Doesn't do drugs. The worst thing that man does is wash down McDonald's with Diet Coke, and that's pretty bad.
I don't think I would try it, but I ain't getting in the way of anybody else who wants to try it. Matter of fact, we're going to make the way. We're going to give them $500 if you're a senior, 65 or older on Medicare, you're going to have the access to this full spectrum product. That's what, when Chad and I was in business together with Green Remedy back in the day, all we cared about is getting the best out of it legally and making sure that these folks that were giving us all this testimony, the miracles that we saw with little Lily cooing, never ever made a sound, was very, an infant that was a toddler that was very locked in her condition.
Yeah.
And, yes, Lord, I mean, we got to give God the glory on that one, Chad, because the tears hit my eyes so fast and jerked them right out of my heart.
Yeah.
And to see little Lily and just hearing Chad, he had the phone up and Lily's mother and all right there, and he had the phone up recording this for us. And
wow. You know,
I mean, you can't
very
imagine.
Humbling.
So when President Trump said, I'm going to release that authority out of him. The Lord bless us.
The first thing I thought of, because I've had several people that I've helped over the years with things like Parkinson's and even dementia, I thought about all the people who I know whose parents are in nursing homes. My sister used to sit with a couple that were, you know, the husband was the president of a bank at one point, and they had a maid and a nanny, and they were these, you know, people that had every advantage in life, and they were wasting away in a nursing home with dementia. And and how many people I've been able to see it bring them back to themselves and make them be able to think clearly and be able to take care of themselves better, which, because that's a huge strain, you know, people my age whose parents are going to be turning 70 soon, like Chad said, his dad's 75, you know. There's a lot of people that are 70 and older who they don't know where to turn when conventional medicine fails them, you know. And like I said, that generation is the first generation that kind of went through this big pharma boom from the 80s and into the 90s. And when vaccinations went way up and, you know, the opioid crisis and the statins and all that, there's a drug for everything. We were just talking about it this weekend about hyperactivity, you know, how maybe one or two weird kids in your school had Ritalin, but everybody else just went to recess. And now 75% of the class is on methamphetamines, you know, and that's normal. That is normal.
Well, I like what President Trump said when he didn't say anything at all about, you know, you got to have this condition or that condition, or we're going to study this thing or that. I like he said, no, we got enough research.
Right.
We're going to trust them.
Yes.
And
right.
I'm not trying to make any medical claims, but I'm going to tell you right now, prepare for miracles, because me and Chad, I can tell you, and Jennifer in this field, and there are many others who've seen what full spectrum CBD did when it was focused on the market's needs.
Right. Even if they made it completely illegal for the rest of my life, I will never stop telling the stories. Never stop trying, and I will never stop. Even if I never got to work in the industry again, I would be sitting up at the Walmart or wherever else I was working and telling everybody that walked in about the wonders of this plant and what God has given us. Thank you. Guys, we're out of time. This was so fun. We'll definitely have to do it again. Thank you for being here, Chad and Martin. I want to say Happy New Year again. Guys, be safe. God bless you. And God bless American Medical Hemp. Good night.